Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we are going to once again wind back the clock and enjoy the second part of a classic program with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Last time we enjoyed half of a conversation about how to handle being the mother of a toddler. Mothers are busy people, and moms of toddlers are even busier, and sometimes the craziness of having young children can be too much to bear. Well, if that's you, if sometimes you feel overwhelmed by being the mother of a young child, you're not alone. In fact, every mother of a toddler struggles on some level to gain a degree of sanity in their lives. So on today's edition of Family Talk, my dad sits down with a panel of mothers who all share a wealth of knowledge about raising young children. The mothers on the panel include Carrie Betts, Carol Kewitt, Mandy Griffith, Kathy Hogan, and Brenda Thompson. And today these moms are going to help us not only put together a game plan for the toddler years, but I know that you'll also find their perspectives entertaining and encouraging. So let's join back in the conversation as my dad, Dr. James Dobson, picks up with the question, what do you do about getting ready for church? On today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
What is Sunday morning like in your houses?
It begins Saturday night.
Yes.
It does. I personally lay out all the clothes. I go upstairs and get the socks, the dresses, the pants, everything. And I lay it out. I lay my stuff out. And, you know, instead of bathing them the same day or in the morning, I do it at night. And our church starts at 9:45. So we're up, me and my husband are up at between 6 and 6:30.
Just to get there at 9:45.
Just to get ourselves ready. Then It comes the kids. And like I said before, it takes half an hour just to get down to the car. You know, just to get in the car and to get them loaded up.
That's great.
Are you ready to worship by the time you get to church? Or are you pretty well worn out?
You guys kind of sit there and just kind of go, whoa, okay, yeah. Got that over. You know, let's get our, you know, minds cleared and, you know, let's listen. And
I went through a period there where Sundays was a relief time because I could take them to the nursery.
Yeah,
and I would sit and I would just be incarnate while the pastor was talking. My husband got picked up on that window and kind of got me back in line. But it was a time of, you know, once they were out of my hands, I could just really sit there and relax. You know.
Mindy, you have four. How do you get them ready for church on Sunday?
Well, when we say it, the main priority for Sunday morning is to be loving to one another. And whether it's, you know, no matter what doesn't get done, that's okay. Because we want to be in a spirit of worship when we get there. And my husband is the one that taught me that. He was not raised in the church. And one Sunday morning, he was free and went with us. And we were all rather uptight when we arrived at church. And he made the comment. He just said this once, and I'll remember it forever. If we're going to be fighting when we arrive at church, then there's no sense going at all. Mm-hmm. And my plan is for us always to go. Yeah. And so from then on, I've made it my goal to have everyone happy and loving each other, you know, as much as it lies with me.
I think there's satanic influence in what happens on Sunday morning. Three of you are nodding. I wish everybody could see it because I know with Shirley and me, there were times when Mindy, we had some of our biggest arguments trying to get to church to worship God.
Right. Oh, there have been times that I've gotten in the car with all the kids and I just, after we're all strapped in, I just sit there and I just cry and I pray and I tell the children, I say, we are not just going to church. I said, every Sunday morning is a celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. And we are going for that. We're going to celebrate. We're going to worship. We're going because we have decided to align ourselves with Jesus. And we're making a statement every time. And it doesn't matter if we feel like going or not. We are going. And when you get to church, we pray before we start the car that we will be able to help someone in our Sunday school class. And so the children, their assignment when they go into Sunday school class is not just to hear the message in their lesson, but to look for someone who looks lonely or sad or a visitor. And then after church, when we get back in the car, we share who our friend was and what we did to help somebody.
That's outstanding,
nice.
Mindy.
Yeah,
that
really
is
nice.
Outstanding. I wish I'd have thought of that. I'd have put it in a book. Give your kids an assignment because they usually think of ourselves.
Oh, they rise to responsibility. Yeah. They really do. They love it.
Carol, how about your home on Sunday morning? What's it like?
I sincerely believe in that's where spiritual warfare comes in. Our biggest struggles are Saturday night to the Sunday morning to getting to the church. And literally, I would say almost every week in the last year or two, every week it comes down to a week-to-week decision, thinking, well, maybe this once we won't go. We just need the break. And my husband and I never voiced it to each other because I know if we heard the other one saying it, we'd stay home. And invariably, once we get there, we really enjoy it.
Kathy, same thing?
I agree with Carrie. I have to lay everything out the night before so that if I can't get the kids dressed, then hubby can step in and take over in that area. But it's getting everybody ready. But what we've done in our family, and this is just a concession for Mom, we would find ourselves trying to eat breakfast and running late and being upset and let's just turn around. I don't want to go in late. So what we've just decided to do is every Sunday morning we get breakfast out. Even if we've it's just that. Go through a drive-thru and feed it to the kids on the way there. We wanted to take that pressure of trying to get up early enough to get everybody fed just out of the loop. So what we do is we just go through the drive-thru or get muffins or something like that.
That would eliminate breakfast dishes when you come home, too.
Yeah.
How about safety problems? How do you deal with the problem of safety?
I tell my son I was 30 when he was born and I'm going on 50. My kids are so active. It is a constant struggle.
To keep them from killing themselves.
Keep them from killing themselves or each other. It was so funny. We had a friend come over and my yard work wasn't done. And he was saying, oh, gee, I wish I had a front yard like this. And I said, yeah, so you could not have your yard work done too. And he said, oh, well, my wife loves yard work. And I know they have a three-year-old. And my husband came up to me later and he said, their three-year-old, remember, is very compliant. If I tried to cut the lawn with my kids out where I was working...
You couldn't get it done,
could
you?
Oh, no way. There would be no way.
But you ought to try it because, see, now my twins are real feisty. Real feisty. And I make them a part of everything. And I have never yet, praise God, I yet had to have any accidents or anything happen that where they don't get into nothing because I made a point since I was going to be stuck with the two babies to make them a part of everything I do. And I do.
And
when I watched
it.
Yes, they love
some
it.
Some of them can get creative about it,
yes,
though.
Yes,
poison control knew me by my
and...
first name. He ate plants, all different kinds of things. It seemed like once a week I was calling saying, this is Mrs. Hogan. My son has just ingested a ficus benjamina leaf. What do I do now?
There are some kids you got to watch.
I've had to change my kitchen now. I totally rearranged my kitchen for their advantage.
Baby-proofed it.
Yes, and they can open up any cabinets and find plastic items. Matter of fact, I thought about something that's so hilarious. Okay, on one of my cabinets, which was easy to open for the kids, always had glass items in it. Then I always kept them low for my 8-year-old, you know, so she helps out in the kitchen a lot. Well, we discovered, you know, that wasn't going to work. So we took and we put all my Tupperware down there. Rachel came and opened up the cabinet, and I was washing dishes, and I turned around, and she had this bewildered look on her face. And I looked, and my spirit said, you know what, she's puzzled because this is not the right stuff in here. She went to pulling out stuff, looking, and all of a sudden she took her finger and she called herself jabbering to me as if to say, where's the other stuff that was in here? You had to be there to really appreciate it. But it was so funny because she looked at me as if to say, this stuff does not belong here.
You know. Say so much with no words.
This is true, you know. So I've had to do that, you know, change my silverware drawer because Rachel used to pull silverware out. Now, Becky has never done anything. She worries me. She's just too innocent. Rachel does everything. And they got burnt.
Identical twins.
Yeah,
isn't
they
that
were burnt.
Amazing?
And Rachel pulled the iron down and it burned her arm and it fell on Becky's hand. Mm. She follows her everywhere though. She sits right up under Rachel.
Mine decided that I'd company over. I just had my son and my husband's in the bedroom and they, you know, all of a sudden I hear this big boom. I turn around and one of my daughters pulled our TV over her.
Oh.
We're just kind of going hysterical.
It landed on top of her.
Yeah, right across the chest. Oh. You know, all you can see was, you know, shoulders and up. And we get her up and, you know, checking her out and yelling for my husband. And she looks up at us and laughs and takes off. And I thought to myself, weird child. You know, any child that can pull an, you know, 19-inch TV over on her and can get up and laugh about it and walk away you know.
It's amazing you ever get them raised, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Grace again.
We have a locked cabinet that we put all the medicines and all the bottles that are supposed to be childproof, but they can figure them out sooner than I can. They're all in there. And my husband, since he works at County Hospital, sees accidents, and he cautions me about never leaving a panhandle out, always putting it in, and not leaving anything on the counter hanging over, because the toddler just sees that naturally and wants to reach up and pull it down, and it could be a knife, it could be anything dangerous. So just keeping them all a little farther away.
What's the funniest thing your kids have ever done?
I left my two. They're rarely out of my sight. Everybody can say that. And I left them just for the split second that you leave them. And our youngest, who is 7 months, sits up and adores the older. And he went back in, and he was sitting there, and he had his whole face covered with stickers. And the other one had carefully placed them. He had three on one eye. But he was adoring him with his other eye. So that was...
Mine are old enough now that the funniest things are the things they say. Mm. And they were in the back of the car, the two boys, and they were conversing. And I was eavesdropping. I wasn't really in the conversation. And the older one said to the younger, "Well, Telfer, what are you going to be when you grow up?" Telfer thought for a while, and he says, "Well, I'm not sure I can do this, and maybe I can't. But if I can, I'm going to be a surgeon and a pastor and a football player. But I realize that's a lot, and if I can't, then I'll just be a surgeon and a pastor, because football is just sports and it's really not important." Then there's silence for a while, and Burton says, "All right, I'll be the football player."
The funniest thing I'm sure the twins did was just, I was washing dishes, and I spent a lot of time in the kitchen. That's, by the way, one of my reliefs. I cook a lot. I like to cook. And I had made some biscuit dough, and I had it on the counter. And Rachel got it and passed it down to Becky, and they were making biscuits in the middle on the floor. And I'm steadily washing dishes. Not once did I observe that all my biscuit was on the floor, and little patties were all over the place, and they were handing me biscuits like, "Yeah, Mommy," you know, they just starting to talk now, so they weren't really talking, but it was just the expression like, "Here, would you like a biscuit?" I couldn't even get mad because it was just so funny.
I collect pewter, and I have something sitting around on tables that my son was taught. These are no-nos, and he learned it pretty well. Well, one day I came in the room, and he had one of the pieces, and I corrected him. I said, "You're not to play with Mommy's pewter." And I put it up, and he put his little hands on his hips, and he said, "Well, then I'll play with Daddy's pewter." And I thought, "Daddy's pewter? What is he talking about?" And he started down the hallway to my husband's office, and he gets to the door, and he points in at the computer, and he said, "I'll play with Daddy's pewter."
That's priceless.
I think it's funny to see their guilt when they when they realize that whatever they're doing isn't something you would be pleased with. Our little 19-month-old, the other day, someone was in the bathtub, so they had the door locked, whatever it does, stuck. And the rest of us were in the living room doing something else. And here he'd gotten the booster chair, and he was just sitting in front of the drawers below the linen closet. And he was just carefully opening the drawer, which none of the children ever open. This is, they don't open those. That's where the travel shampoo and the little toothpaste tubes and it's not real dangerous things, but they're not supposed to be in there. And he was carefully taking things out and looking at them, putting them back in. And he heard me come in the hall, and he quit, put everything back in the drawer and moved his booster chair over back into the kitchen and just sort of smiled. Then he's only 19 months old.
And he already can.
Very smart.
My 2-year-old will call from another room, and he'll say, "Mama, don't come in here."
Yes.
Gives himself away.
My kids will run in from the backyard and go in the room, and they say, "Don't come in for a while, Mommy. Won't want to see it." I agree with some of you that have said that children are so smart, Brenda, you mentioned. I've always thought that they know more than we realize.
Definitely.
And when they get older, it comes back. My first grader, for Sunday school class, was memorizing the 23rd Psalm. And it just so happens that the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old sleep in the same room. And so we'd say it at night. And my 3-year-old says the 23rd Psalm. And it just blesses me so much. And she has a few alterations, you know.
Her own version.
Just make it sweeter, you know. Yeah. She doesn't know about evil, but the eagle's not going to get her.
I remember one youngster who thought that where the scripture said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," he thought it was Harold. I'm wondering whether or not you ladies get the support that you need at home. Do you feel like your husbands support you emotionally? You think they understand you?
My husband is really supportive. I will have to say that there have been times when he's been left with the children, and I'll come home, and the place is a disaster.
That's true.
And he'll say to me, "Well, what could I do? I had to watch the kids." And I said, "Well, how do you think I do it?" And I have to say this for him. He really does try to understand where I'm coming from. And he's really good about the fact if he comes home and the mop water is cold on the kitchen floor and things are not finished, and I look at him and say, "It was one of those days," he really takes that in stride and tries to understand.
Nice. Carrie, the same?
No, not really. With my three, they, you know, get into things, and when my husband comes home, he is tired, and we don't have the time to spend together to say, "Hey, you know, this is what happened. I wasn't able to do it because this, this, and this."
Does he understand?
Sometimes he doesn't.
I want to make sure I understand. You're saying you feel pressure from him to do more and be more than you're able to.
Mm-hmm. See, I only have two hands, two legs, but I really can use six more of both.
Sure.
You know,
I'd like
it's
to ask
really hard
if you can relate. I feel often that when I don't accomplish set, you know, things, goals, you know, for a given day or any given period, or he comes home and you go, "Rats," instead of, "You're home," it's like, "Rats, I didn't make it." I feel sort of guilty, like, I should have, if I had it in gear, if I had blah, 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 blah.
Everybody agree in that?
Basically.
You want your children, you know, if possible, even bathed, but they haven't eaten yet. But that way, when he comes home, he needs to relax. He hasn't been home. He hasn't, you know, this, that, the other thing he hasn't had. So you want everything to be sort of, quote, perfect.
Yeah. Carol, you think he understands what frustrations you have experienced with your children? Does he comprehend that?
I don't think he comprehends it, although he is very supportive.
Yeah.
Because
he has not walked in your shoes.
No, and he hasn't even driven the car with only two. The only time he drives a car with two in the car seat, I'm there. So he hasn't even really had to deal with freeway and two kids in a car seat kind of thing.
I remember Shirley always wanted a station wagon because she said, I can't stand kids hanging over my shoulder.
Yeah.
I want to be able to get them in the back where I can drive the car. Mindy, can you identify with what's being said here?
I like the idea of having the house all set for when my husband comes home, but with my husband's schedule, I can get set five times and he's still not home.
Yeah.
And everything can have been just perfect. And I thought, oh, if he could have only walked in the door 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But when he comes in, sometimes it's just a shambles. But I think our husbands need to see that occasionally, too,
that's true.
To realize where we are. And my husband, no matter how bad his day has been, he said, "Well, I'd never trade with you."
Mindy, your husband is a surgical resident and works 100 hours a week at the hospital, to say nothing of the reading and the other work that he has to do when he's at home. How do you preserve time with him? How do you all cope with the sheer pressures associated with that kind of lifestyle?
Well, there are some things that we never have to face. Like, I don't have to cook dinner every night. We don't have to have dinner every night at 5 o'clock on the table. Wonderful meal. We eat peanut butter and Cheerios. But it is a priority. Our time together is a priority. And since my husband has had to spend so much time for the last 5 years with his training, he doesn't do anything else, really, except be with me and be with the children. He doesn't come home and put his feet up and read the paper. He comes home and lays on the floor and let him tackle him. You know, no matter how tired you are, you can lay on the floor and let the kids tackle you.
Where does he find time for himself? Does he not need any time alone? All the time he's at the hospital, people are pulling on him.
That's right.
And when he comes home, he can still give to his
children.
Well,
he does. He does. It's amazing.
He's an unusual man.
He has a little time in the car. And if I know when he's coming, which doesn't happen very often, I try and get them occupied somewhere so we can, he can, and I unlock the door so he can sneak in quietly. And we had a bell on the door for a while, and we had to take that off because they'd hear it every time, you know. Even
running.
Parks across the street sometimes so he can tiptoe in and sit in his chair.
Looking back over the last 10 years that you've been married, Mindy, would you do it again just as you've done it? Would you have chosen to have four children that quickly? Given the stresses that he was under and looking at what that's meant for you and your life?
I think for us, yes. We had thought about waiting until he was all done with his training to have children. And after we've been married 3.5 years, I said, you're so busy and I want a baby. Yeah. And so we did that. And we had discussed even before we got married that we liked the large families that we knew. And the interaction between the children, and that we would like to have a large family. We thought it was good for the children. It was hard on the mom, but good for the children. About the third child is when I realized, hey, I'm the mom. It's hard on me.
Have there been times, Mindy, where you have gotten the kids down for a nap or gotten them occupied and gone in your bedroom and shut the door and got on your knees and said, Lord, if I'm going to make it another day, you got to help me?
Oh, daily, sometimes twice a day. Yeah, I make it a practice to, the time changes with the kids' schedules, but I have to get up at least an hour before I think that the first one will awaken. And it helps. I mean, 2 hours would be wonderful, but an hour is minimum.
Carol, how do you find time with your husband?
It's after the kids go to sleep. We were trying to describe that, and the word is really sweet. That's the kind of time. It doesn't matter if you're holding one who's fallen asleep, but when they're both asleep, it almost echoes, and it's very special. And sometimes you can say sort of profound things because you haven't been able to interact, and so you're just picking the most important nuggets out. It's very sweet. We also make a high priority on time together. I guess a lot of that is the teaching at our church, and especially on weekends, it's almost like a quiet time where we give the very first time, the minute that both of them are asleep, we'll spend together. And sometimes it seems like scheduled intimacy, which sounds really hokey, but it's not. And working at love sounds like it should be in two different sentences, but love is work.
Sure.
And it's I can't speak highly enough of it. It's only been 6 years of marriage, but we enjoy each other and have just a real good time.
Do you ever get to go out for dinner away from the kids? Do you ever just the two of you do something together?
Occasionally.
But
it's
rare.
Not the norm.
When you look back on this era in your life from the other end of life, what are you going to think of? You're going to think of intense frustration and tears and anger and unhappiness, or are you going to think of it as tough, but some of the richest years of my life?
Oh, definitely some of the richest, definitely. And I think that friendship that I've developed with the children because of our hours upon hours together is really part of it. If I can share this with you.
You bet.
The reward comes when a 5-year-old who you've diapered and fed and clothed and hugged and chastised and played with and screamed at and cried with and read to and prayed with and listened to and shared with and sung with says to you at a moment of need, I know exactly how you feel, Mom, and I'll pray for you.
Oh, yes.
This happened last Sunday morning. It was one of those mornings. Chris works 7 days a week. He usually leaves about 6 a.m. And so I always get the kids ready for church by myself. And as I was unlocking the door to go out and get all the kids in the car, I said, Jesus, I don't feel loving. I don't feel kind. Please help me. And Telfer was right there, and he said, I know exactly how you feel, Mom, and I'll pray for you.
Oh, boy.
That's my one that slid down the porch. But he has such insight into me.
That's right.
They teach you.
You've been listening to the conclusion of a classic program titled Mothers of Toddlers here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like help in finding new resources about how to raise young children, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. We have lots of books and articles and resources available, including our Solid Answers section on the website, and two of my dad's bestsellers, Bringing Up Boys and Bringing Up Girls, along with lots of free resources. And when you contact us, please make a donation to help us maximize the matching grant we currently have going on right now. We recently received a generous matching grant to further the ministry of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, which means that every dollar you commit to us this month immediately doubles, increasing our ability to touch the lives of more people and impact our culture on a bigger scale. So would you donate today? You can do so by visiting our website, drjamesdobson.org, by calling us at 877-732-6825, on our Facebook page, or via our Family Talk smartphone app. Thanks for helping us maximize the grant and reach our financial goals for the year. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.